Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Now, you may have spotted a man in Ireland carrying a cross, a really big cross. It's 12 foot and weighs 45 kilos. That man is named Keith Wheeler, and he's in Ireland, in fact, because it's just the latest in a long list of countries he's visited. He's been doing this since 1985. Keith, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the privilege of joining you.
So how long have you been in Ireland for, Keith?
I arrived on 19th of May.
Oh, so you've been here for a while. And what parts of Ireland have you visited?
Well, I've been as far down away as the Cliffs of Moher. And actually, I'm made it all the way up now into the north. But I've been throughout a lot of your lovely land, not all of it, not even close to enough of it. It's definitely has to be one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen.
And when you, before you arrive in a country, do you kind of map out yourself what kind of route you're going to take? Because obviously you're going on foot everywhere.
Sometimes I do. You can't tell a lot, though, from maps or even the internet these days, because you don't know really about traffic. And sometimes you don't know about where you are able to walk and not able to walk. So I've done this now with the help of God for 33 years nearly now. Mm. And I have to say there's never been one trip that's ever been the same.
I would imagine so. So when you arrived, how did you arrive in Ireland? Was it on a plane?
I actually flew in from London.
Right.
On an airplane.
And what do you do with the cross?
It breaks down into 3 6-foot sections, just shy of 6 feet.
Ah.
And I strap it together with bungee cords, and I've got a long bag. It's always fun to see the expressions of people at the airport where I'm checking in.
Yes. I would imagine so. So would it be the case, Keith, that so you arrived in Dublin Airport, you reassemble your cross, and then you just start walking?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Well, you know, again, it's each journey is different, but not this trip. It wasn't like that. I knew some people here. They are from the States, and they were going to be helping with some conferences. So normally when I arrive in a country, I've done everything from literally beginning walking at the airport. But this trip, someone met me. They took me to a place to meet some of these guys. I shared at some of their meetings. And then as they traveled around, I would travel around with my cross. So I did not, as I said, I've got a lot more ground to cover. I need to come back to Ireland. My wife is flying in tomorrow into London, so I'm meeting her. And then we're spending the next 5 weeks journeying across all of the UK.
Mm. And I assume, obviously, you're a deeply committed Christian, and the idea is that you just walk around with your cross and hope people say to you, why are you walking around with the cross?
I'm just simply a pilgrim, a follower of Jesus. And I tell people I was the best Christian maybe that you've ever met. And then I met Jesus, and I hope that makes sense. Well, basically what it means is I kept all the rules. I was pretty good at rule-keeping, and unfortunately I judged people who couldn't keep the rules or who wouldn't keep the rules. And I had a real wonderful encounter with Jesus, and I realized it wasn't the hand of the Roman soldier that nailed him there. It wasn't the decisions of the Jewish lawyers and judges. If he died for sinners, I am one. I'm guilty, and yet he had mercy on me. And I knew all the facts. I knew all the figures. I was the best church attender, baptized multiple times, read my Bible through every year. To this day, I'm pushing 60 now. I've never been drunk a day in my life. But I was a rule keeper, and I expected others to keep the rules. And the cross is a message of God's grace. It's a message of his love. And I have a saying that at the foot of the cross is where the very very best of God meets the worst of mankind. And there's hope. There can be peace, true joy, true freedom. And so I had the wonderful privilege of meeting people, and I love it when people ask. I'm not one of these guys that's going to bash you over the head and say, you've got to listen to me. In fact, people will say what they will. And, you know, that's their choice as well. But I'm always honored when people stop and inquire why. And my simple message there is, because of the cross, we can be forgiven. Because of his resurrection, though, we can personally know him. And we can not only have eternal life, but in this life, we can have abundant life.
Now, you've visited something like 176 countries, obviously not all of them Christian countries, some of them with wars going on. Do you have to get permission in advance to visit some of these places, or do you just turn up?
I just turn up. And actually, some of the most, in our minds, hostile countries, unwelcoming countries, have been some of the most welcoming countries. I showed up literally after 2 years of trying to get a visa to go into Iraq when Saddam Hussein was in power. I literally showed up because I'd been denied visas in all of these other countries. And I did. I just showed up at the border. I came into Amman, Jordan, went across the desert, convinced the Jordanian authorities to allow me to pass. They just said, don't start an international incident and don't step off the roadside. There are landmines. I told them, thanks for letting me know. And I was at the, after a few miles between no man's land, I showed up at the Iraqi border. And at first, questioned why I'm there. They got on the radio, they called Baghdad, and soon let me know I was the most honored and welcome guest of Saddam Hussein. And I had freedom to carry the cross just about any place. And I found that over and over again. My cross has been welcomed by more pubs and bars and nightclubs than churches. Churches want to know what kind of cross I'm carrying. You know, is it a Protestant cross? Is it a Catholic cross?
How can you tell?
And my response is, well, my response is, if you could tell me what kind of cross Jesus died on, I'll tell you what kind of cross I'm carrying, because I'm following him.
There have been one or two hairy moments in that you have been arrested many times, as I understand it. And once you
arrested, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and there was one time where you were put in front of a firing squad.
Correct. Yes, sir. I was. Sadly, those are all in Christian nations. I've been stoned with rocks three times. All three of those were in Christian nations as well. I have had some harrowing encounters in nations at war and in some in Muslim nations as well. But I think that, you know, people are people wherever they are, and people have been hurt, confused by religion and whatever side somebody might be on. And that's why I'm talking about a relationship with God that comes through Jesus. And yes, I mean, I've been stoned three times with rocks. I've been run over by cars or hit by cars four times. I've been beaten and left for dead. The last time I was unconscious, that was for 3 weeks. That was in the States. Both times, I've had more beatings, more gunshots fired at me, more guns pointed at me, and more knives pointed at me in the United States than all of the rest of the world combined.
God, that's
and that's not to say that the only... That's not to say the only place I've had problems have been in the U.S. Yes, there have been heaps of other countries. Sometimes people are just confused, and that's why they arrest me. They want to know, just make sure I'm who I say that I am, and they don't want me traipsing around their country until they do find that out. But, you know, Jesus said if they hit you on one cheek, turn the other. Jesus said, blessed are you if they persecute you for righteousness' sake. He said, if they did it to me, they'll do it to you. And so why should I expect anything different? Of course, I don't go looking for trouble. I'm actually seeking to be a peacemaker, not just a peace lover.
You did mention your wife is flying in, and as I understand it, your wife often accompanies you, your father to the two of you are parents to five kids. How do you pay for all this, kids?
Yes. The easiest way to say it would be... And not to avoid your question because it's really difficult to explain, but if I told one of my sons to go paint the house, he should paint the house. He's the boy. I'm the father. But the father is supposed to buy the paint. He's supposed to buy the brushes, the drop cloth, the ladders, and even in the dangerous places to help him. And I figure if God really called me to do this, it's his responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so because he uses people, on one side, I've stayed in some of the finest hotels you can imagine. I've stayed in homes or palaces even of prime ministers and kings. More than anything, I've stayed in the homes of wonderful people along the roadside. But I've also slept under bridges, on park benches, on bus stops, under trees. So no trip is ever the same, God has chosen to use people around the world. Our greatest gift was a Muslim mosque in Bosnia. Our second largest gift came from a bar, a pub in Oklahoma in the U.S. So that kind of gives you a range there.
Yeah.
But people try to give me money, and I try to say, I'm not walking for money. I'm walking for cheese. For people and peace.
So who's buying the paint, Keith? To go back to your original metaphor, I'm confused. presumably your kids need paint for going to school and to study with and to eat. How are you paying for all that?
Well, just to relieve you, the eldest is 37.
All right, they can buy their own.
It's 24.
Now.
That's it.
Yeah. But you have been doing this. So how previously did that work?
You know, the kids have been all over the world. They've some of their first steps were in other nations. Some of their first words were other languages, and our youngest daughter nearly died from malaria when we were in Zambia, actually on her seventh birthday. She just turned 27. And actually she's a special situation child. She received a kidney transplant when she was only 11, and she's on dialysis now. Mm. And so it's home dialysis. She's able to work. She's able to carry on pretty normally, except that 4 hours a day she's on a machine to help clean her system.
Yeah. We have to leave it there, Keith, but thank you so much for speaking with us today, and best of luck on the rest of your travels around Ireland and indeed after that the UK. That's Keith Wheeler there. If you do see him around the country, now you'll know who he is and why he's doing it.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.